When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
As the Nationals are a strike away from franchise history and some World Series history. Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books!
It's not a dream! It's not a desert mirage! It's Lord Stanley! And he is coming to
Deal. Oh, great crossover.
Got it.
Just left Fournier.
That's called getting put on skates.
Down to two, down to one, and the Washington football team with the upset in Pittsburgh, handing the Steelers their first loss of the season, coming back from 14-0 down. What a win.
The show by the fans for the fans, covering all four major sports in the District of Champions. It's the DC Crossover Podcast with your hosts, Mike Cerrone and Ben Simpson.
Hello and welcome to episode 166 of the DC Crossover. I'm Ben Simpson. That is Mike Cerrone. Glad to be back on another Monday evening live. If you are watching live, feel free to drop a comment below, and we will in the chat, and we'll address them. We haven't really been promoting the fact that we are going live, so typically, if you are interested in joining the show live, we're usually going either a Monday night or a Tuesday night around this time, around 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. So if you do want to hop in, you get notified. If you are a subscriber to the YouTube account, which you should be, and then you know, on Twitter as well, at the DC Crossover for the main account, you get notified there as well. So,
you know what the one thing I want to say about the socials? Now, I understand, because now we're back on Restream. The thing I want to check is see, or we might have already checked it before, is the ad channels bit. I want to see if it has TikTok on it. Now, it probably doesn't, because I mean, TikTok, no matter how big it gets right now, how everyone's like TikTok, you know, all day, every day, it still doesn't take precedent over YouTube, Facebook, even Twitch, stuff like that for streaming sites.
Right.
Which TikTok Live is a huge deal. So you would think that they would actually have it on there. But I do realize why they don't, because I guess it just doesn't. You know, I mean, it doesn't compute, I guess you could say, with the big names like I said, like YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, anytime I've seen somebody go live on TikTok, they're usually doing that weird, like, have you seen that, like, the battle thing?
Are they doing the battle? Wait, which battle are you talking about? Because I've seen a bunch of different ones.
I've seen, like, where it's, like, head-to-head, and there's, like, a little bar at the top.
Yep.
And, then, like, they're trying. I don't even know how you're supposed to be filling it up.
They're like if you like Trump, and then like if or do a smiley face.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like
and then buy, that too. Like,
they do that thing, but then they do the NPC crap is just all over me. Oh my God, you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Like the AI NPC, whatever it is, where they're sitting there and they're like, "Thank you for the rose, very smelly," or something like
and
that.
The one that's hit my algorithm a lot recently, also for the lives, is like, they'll be like pretending to be asleep, and they'll be like, you know, like for to make my car go forward, and like do this to make it go to the right, and like you direct it or whatever.
Is that what the sleeping bit is? Because I've never really looked into it.
Yeah, because, I think so.
Because I've seen people like,
because they're like, take control. Like, you take control, I'll be asleep, and like you can take control.
Well, I haven't seen. The thing is, I've seen people that have been like in like basically Fortnite lobbies, and they act like they're asleep.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. The internet is so.
Maybe I miss the gameplay version of it, but I don't understand what's the point. I mean, like especially the NPC thing. It's they're like. Oh my god! Like when they get like a lightning bolt like gift or something like that,
right?
And then they're like, thank you for the follow, and they're like,
my favorite video right now in my
it's weird, man.
Is I don't know if you've seen these, but it's like I'm mesmerized. Is it'll be like a bunch of different types of cars, and it's a simulation of like, hey, would the 1966 Chevy like make it? Like, what would happen? What would be the survival percentage be if it like when it like jumps over the cliff and stuff? And it'll show like 10 different types of cars. That's heavy in my rotation right now.
Is that George? Is it, not George? Is that Grand Theft Auto?
No. It's like some sort of like simulation program.
I know what it is.
Yeah, something.
What they call it. I think it has a five in it or something. I know exactly what you're. No, it's a Beam MG.
Sure, whatever, I think it is.
What it's called.
It's got me hooked in. I love seeing like, all right, what's going to be the survival percentage for this Toyota Prius? Like, you know, jumping off the roof of this building. Like, oh, it's very entertaining. That has been heavy in the rotation, but. A lot to get to on today's program. We will talk some Commanders talk, but we're also going to be doing a lot of Squid Game talk because if you have not watched Squid Game, the challenge, we will tell you when we're going to be talking about the show, so you do have a spoiler alert when we get to that point. We do encourage you to go watch it, though, because it's highly entertaining. But before we get into all that, I did want to mention, you know, just as far as weekend go. So I did attend Bert Kreischer, the comedian, was live, did a live show at George Mason University. And I want to tell you about this because before the show started, so they had two big screens on the stage. This is an arena. So, you know, it's a lot of people. They had two big screens. And before the show started, they had a camera kind of going around like you would see at a sporting event. And because the show is called The Tops Off Tour, it would go around and find like fat guys, and fat guys would stand up and take their shirt off, and there was music playing. No. I was gonna say, how much money for you and for you to stand up in this arena full of people, take your shirt off, and do a little, you know, 30-second dance on camera? How much money for you?
Wait. So I have to do 30 seconds?
No, maybe not 30 seconds. Call it 15 seconds.
15 seconds is a long time.
It is. And that's what that was probably about what it was. So what 15 seconds, you're standing up, you're shirtless. The camera is zoomed in on you. You're on both of the double big screens in the arena. How much money to do that?
Especially George Mason, so you know. Now, granted, I didn't even know he was in town. So sure. The marketing was pretty bad.
Right.
Because I probably would have gone to it,
right,
too.
Right. You would have loved it. It was a good show.
I would say amount of money, because there's locals there. People probably know me.
Yep.
I would probably have to throw in, it probably had to be four digits.
Four digits?
Yeah. Because, again, you have to think about it, dude. 15 seconds is, I mean, if you think about it this way. Think about if you're... for instance, dribbling a basketball.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, you stop and then someone's guarding you. How long the 5 seconds from the ref takes?
Sure, sure.
You're dancing that entire time with your shirt off times three.
Busting out all the moves. Now, what would the moves be, you think? Would you just kind of go for it, just kind of like flailing the body around, or would you have a specific route you would go from a move? You don't have to do it on camera right now. But is there a specific route you would go?
We'll do that. We'll do that off air.
Yeah. That would be a private screening. Do you have like a go-to dance move?
With my clothes on, yes.
Sure. So would that translate to the shirtless?
No, because the problem is, like, for instance, for my buddy's wedding, I was the best man, and I came in. And we didn't really have a huge plan.
Sure.
But the maid of honor is a little bit taller than me. Like, she was like 6'2". So it's kind of embarrassing in the first place. And I'm not a small person.
No.
Like, I'm not.
You look like a regular guy.
I'm like average height and stuff like that. I'm like 5'11 or so.
We're about the same height.
Yeah. And I came in and I told it, and before I went in, I told her, I said, hey, I'm just going to start like acting like I'm riding a horse. And then like you start like hitting me with a whip, and then I don't know, I don't know where it went from. So I need to show you the video.
Why would she be whipping? Okay, never mind. I don't want to think too much about it.
Because I'll have to show it to you. Because I kind of panicked because I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and people were expecting me to do something fun.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, someone called me Magic Mike.
Ooh.
So
that's a good time to take your shirt off.
I should have, even though I rented it. I don't know, man. There's the moves that make you, if your shirt's on, make you funny, but then when your shirt's off, it makes you other body parts move really fast. Oof. And all over the place.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem.
So yeah, there's not really a good. I might have to do like the awkward stare. You ever done that?
Oh, like yeah, like that could be good.
Like just
that kid at the College World Series.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Do something like that, or even just do like I don't even know, man.
You could do you're facing away from the camera, and then you do a quick like turn of the head and turn around and then stare it down. That could be a nice one.
Do a funny bit. Like the dance part is something that I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. Because
you know it's. The
and
dancing
you,
issue is a problem.
These gentlemen, they were not afraid of for $0. These guys, and I'm talking about guys that are like twice the size of us, and we're already big gentlemen. There were some big boys at the Bert Kreischer show.
I'm sure.
Which, I will say, like one of my biggest pet peeves now, and I don't know if it's just because I'm big now, is like sitting in like a seat at a live show. And you're scrunched in there. It's the most uncomfortable thing on the planet. It really is. Like you can't move. So I had a stranger to my left and I had Dan to my right. So it's like, you know, when you know the person next to you, it's like you don't feel as bad if you're like infringing on their space. But this poor woman sitting on my left, I was like, I even told her, I did the bit like when I sat down, I was like, hey, if I get too much in your space or you need more room, just let me know. Because I was like, I don't want this poor lady to be like, you know, like turning her whole body away from this ogre that's sitting next to her. But dude, I'm anything I go to now that I'm sitting in like a seat, it's like these seats are too small. A lot of these arenas built their seats, it was like, oh yeah, America's not that fat. And it's like, no, America's really fat. We need bigger seats.
Well, the funny thing about that is when you talk about the heftier gentlemen that are, when I say hefty, I mean like you know, hefty,
yeah.
like the garbage bags.
Right.
You know, like we're just one hefty.
Sure.
So, we're not three. Okay. So basically, when you see those guys, they're just gone.
I don't know how they do it.
They just don't care.
Right.
So they don't, they're like, I'm not going to get any smaller than this because they just give up, basically.
Right. Right.
So
right.
When they give up, then all of a sudden they're like, yep, this is who I am. So deal with it.
I'm dying at 55, but I'm good right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so those people just don't care. But for us, it's like we know that we should not be this big.
Right. We know that we could be good looking if we just gave a little effort and lost the weight. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, buffalo chicken dip is just too good.
We're in that middle ground of, like you said, where it's like we haven't given up completely. We're in the worst place you could possibly be because, like, you still have an uphill battle to climb if you want to get back down to, like, a good weight. But you could also easily just give up and, like, you know, let yourself go. Like, it's a tough spot.
We're also in that little, you know, bad age of purgatory here where basically – it's hard enough to lose, but for some reason, like, you keep getting on the scale, and for some reason, it just keeps going up, like, by one or two every now and then, and you're just like, how is this possible?
Yeah.
Like, I ate bread, like, once in the last year.
You're, like, you'll intermittent fast for a day, and, like, the next day, you'll step on the scale, and it'll be, like, 5 pounds heavier, and you'll be like, how is that possible? That doesn't make sense. No, it's a tough spot, but no, it was a great show, but nothing really funny to report with that, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on the shirtless dancing, because...
Well, what would it cost you, though? Because, again, I say four figures.
I wouldn't go up to four, but I'd say, like, you hand me $500. You hand me five crisp $100 bills, I'll get up and do a 15-second dance with my shirt off. Now, who's to say I won't immediately leave the arena afterwards? But I will do the 15-second dance. Have you ever? Okay. That's another question I have before we move on. Is have you ever been on the big screen, like at a game or anything like that, where like not shirtless and dancing, but I mean, like, have you ever looked up at the scoreboard and been like, "Oh my God, there's me"? Because I know you've been on TV before. I have a picture on my phone of you at the Nats playoff game years ago, and you have a towel on your head and you're looking pretty upset. And so I know you've been on TV before for a game, but have you ever been on the big scoreboard or Jumbotron or whatever?
So the TV bit was the 18-inning Jordan Zimmerman game where he actually went out there and threw nine innings and we were up 1-0. We couldn't score.
Right.
So, I was on the TV like three or four times during that game. I mean, there was plenty of time. There was two baseball games played.
Let's find the miserable Nats fan.
Basically, the Jumbotron was a few different times, like, back in the day.
Okay.
Like, when I say back in the day, I mean, like, 20-plus years ago. Because, again, they don't really look for the, you know, just say for now. They don't look for the 32-year-old, you know, guy that's leaned back in his chair just chilling with a Coke in his hand. Because, for me, when the Jumbotron comes on, they're always like, "Get up and dance," know? And it's always the kids and that one like 66-year-old lady, you know, that's up just going nuts. Yep. And you're just like, "All right." But I think the people that do it the best are I think it's the St. Louis Blues that they do the bit where they'll get like a TV character. Like they'll do Peter Griffin or something like that. Now, there has been some on there that I've seen on like TikTok and stuff like that that have been hilarious.
Yeah.
And then the people are like, "Wait, what?"
They get like pissed off because they're like, "That person's ugly. Like, what do you mean?" Like,
yeah, like Carrot like Top, and they go to like the one redhead that's in the stands.
No, that's like a great bit. A good scoreboard crew, when they like know what they're doing, like, because the other funny video you see sometimes go viral on TikTok is like where they'll play somebody eating food in reverse on the scoreboard, so it looks like they're taking a hot dog out of their mouth or something like that.
I've seen that.
That's a good one. But yeah, I agree with you. The celebrity lookalike cam thing is a A1. Like, that is a great bit.
Now imagine getting that job. I would do that job in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah.
Just to say, hey, you know, second intermission is coming up. Spend this time, the next two periods, finding these six characters in the stands. And you have like one guy that's out there with like binoculars, like not watching the game. They're just like looking at the stands. Like, must be really creepy to watch. At that guy, but he's probably having the best time of his life.
It is kind of a creepy job as a whole of like staring into the crowd to find people before you put them up on a big screen, because like it feels a little invasive because they have no idea that you're looking at them a lot of the time, unless the camera's like right up there and they're like, "Hey," but like the far away shots, you're like, "I don't know this guy, like, I don't think he knows that he's about to be on the big camera." And it's always funny too, like, you see the videos go viral of like a guy and a girl on a date when clearly like they don't want to be seen because the guy's probably, you know, this is a side girl or whatever. So like he's like covering up his face and stuff like that.
Well, the worst part is that those celebrity lookalikes is when there's a really like, "Oh, who are they going to choose for this one?" You know, and then like you look down to see like, "Do I look like that guy?" And then all of a sudden it pans to you and you're like, "Oh great, I'm, you know, Cleveland from Family Guy," or something like that. That's what they think of me, or something else. You know, like they've stooped to some lows when I've seen that one, which is kind of funny. But for that person, they're definitely gonna jump off a building that night.
Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal. We'll move on briefly. Before we get into the Squid Game talk, we will talk a little bit of Commanders, which, again, that season prediction of 7-10 for me is looking tougher and tougher by the
What about
week.
Mine?
I mean, yeah, 9-8 for my – I don't know what you were thinking. So you lose to Miami 45-15. We kind of knew this was going to happen. Maybe not as big of a blowout. I mean, you kind of thought, you know, actually, I honestly, I think one of my picks on, one of my picks was the Commanders to cover this, like 9.5 at one point. I put some money on that, and like, Yeah, of course, they get blown out. So that didn't go well. But I guess I just didn't think this was going to be as big of a difference as it ended up being. I mean, that's a imagine being at that game. It'd be miserable.
I was at the Bears game.
Yeah. I mean, this is basically pretty
similar.
Yeah. I mean, they.
Well, here you knew what you were getting into. That's the problem. Here you knew what you were getting into with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, you know, so on and so forth, all the running backs and all that stuff. But for me, the Bears game was just a complete shock because they haven't won in a year. They're terrible. You know, they haven't done anything all season. And all of a sudden they come and hang 40 plus on us at home on Thursday Night Football. So that was something that I was like, okay. But you would think that that's like a odd thing that happens. But now it's kind of a regular thing. I'm going to find a tweet here in a second from Grant Paulson that he tweeted out yesterday that basically said how bad this team has been at home, which, again, at home we have been complete garbage on defense. So from Grant Paulson, you want to follow him at Grant H. Paulson. He's one of our favorite guys to follow. In their last five home games, the Commanders' defense has allowed 37 to the Bills, 40 to the Bears, 38 to the Eagles, 31 to Tommy DeVito, and then 45 to the Dolphins. So right there, last five home games, 31 was the Giants, and that was the lowest output from the defense that you could find. And that's just horrific. When you have a stadium that is pro Commanders for once in like, what, 15 years, and your defense was supposed to be much more improved this year than, or not, I wouldn't say much more improved. I would say much more improved than what they're outputting, because last year they were a decent defense and stuff like that. I just think that this has been a complete and utter failure of a season, because you think about it, you're looking at the Dolphins fans cheering, "Let's go Dolphins."
Yeah.
And you can hear it clearly on the TV. There's pictures all over Twitter and everything like that of, I mean, it literally looks like you're in the community pool because it's so blue in the stadium. It's just unbelievable how you go from, you know, a sellout or whatever it was for the first couple games, and we were doing all right in the first half. You know, defense, oh, they'll come around and all that kind of stuff. But now the last five home games where, again, they always say home field advantage means something, because especially for the players, yes, you might not get fired up all the time from the fans, but you get to sleep in your own bed. Mm-hmm. You get to, you know, drive your own car. You don't have to get an Uber or get a team bus or anything like that. You get the comfort of your own home, and you come out like this against an away team that has no business, for instance, the Giants and the Bears, no business beating you. Now, the Dolphins and the Bills, different story.
Right.
But Tommy DeVito and the Bears, they have no business beating you on your own home turf, but laying that many points on you is a disgrace. And this team, I think they already know this, and I'm not trying to sit there and do like some hot take like, oh, the defense is pretty bad this year. Right, like, right. No, they are, and that's the problem. And then the last thing I'll say about this whole entire defensive performance, because it's really not anything to talk about the defense. We talk about the offense. But when you hear John Allen go on the radio, a hometown guy that sits there and says, I have thought about leaving Washington because I don't want to go through a whole rebuild. The guy is getting up there where he's in his prime right now. You go through a whole nother rebuild where they sell off two pieces and then they try to go draft some guys that are maybe not immediate impacts or something of that nature, where they have to develop for a couple years, like a Jamin Davis or whoever. That's going to be an issue, because he is the voice of this team. He is the captain of your defense. And if you leave him out to dry here, that's going to be an issue. And right now, I'm a little scared, because when you hear the captain of your defense not really say, you know what, we're building on some positive things or this and that, which he has said in the past, but is I feel like anything he says right now is not working, because this team is just literally a fish that's on land, just flopping around right now, waiting for the season to tick away. And this is just a disgrace from what we've seen. And I feel kind of bad for some of the guys who have been performing well, or even are just having down seasons, because everyone has down seasons, everyone has down games. But to have all those games, all those home games in a row, be just blowouts in the sense of your defense not even holding somebody under 31, that's pretty bad.
I mean, it was just an ugly day as a whole, because even on the offensive side of the football, not a good day really for, I mean, I don't know who it was a good day for. I guess Curtis Samuel, four catches, 65 yards. You know, he had a pretty decent day, I guess. But then you have Scary Terry, no catches, three targets. You have Howell getting sacked three times. Him obviously going below 150 yards passing, which you don't really ever see with Sam Howell. Even in losses, we've seen Howell at least sling the rock around a bit. He also had a pick in the game as well. And so this was probably one of Howell's worst games this season, you got to say. It's up there. And so the Howell haters are obviously emboldened by a game like this, because if you already don't like Sam Howell, you see this game and you go, look, I mean, this guy sucks. And you're like, it was not pretty, especially, when you're seeing your best receiver, Terry McLaurin, come away from this game with zero catches. Like, that just can't happen.
Now, was this game, in your opinion, a game that changed the minds of the faithful? Because you have to think about it this way, okay? I saw some things online that people were talking about that someone said, you know what? I have to come to the hard conclusion that Terry McLaurin is just a wide receiver 2 disguised as a wide receiver 1.
Oof.
Because I saw that and I was like, wait a second. Are we really turning on Terry now? Because Terry has the track record with this dysfunctional franchise.
Yeah.
Where he has what? I believe it's 4 straight seasons. I believe it's 4 straight, maybe 3 straight, where he has over 1,000 yards. How hard is it to get 1,000 yards in the league? It is pretty hard, I would say. We've seen really good players not get 1,000 yards from time to time. And Terry, you know, judging by the QB carousel that we have going on, where it's this guy, that guy, you know, this bum, this trash, all that kind of stuff. Do you think that people are overreacting? Because honestly, I think they are. Now,
right.
It all starts with Howell. And I even texted it to you that I think Howell is going to get a huge bad rap from this. I think everyone's going to sit there and say, yeah, you know, he's just, you know, he's not it. Blah, blah. Like, they're going to say so many things about he's not it, he's not the guy, this and that. But again, there's no offensive line. It's the same story every week. That's the problem that I have. It's the same story every week.
Look at these sacks.
Yeah, that's the problem. And we had that little, that small little lull where we were doing okay. But then all of a sudden, now it's ticked back up again. And the problem is, again, that people don't realize the offensive line isn't better. They just had a little, you know, lull in the system, like I said, that everyone fell asleep on the offensive line and got away from, you know, sacking him a million times. The issue that I'm seeing, though, is that people sit there and they want to rag on him. They want to rag on Terry. They want to say that John Allen's not doing anything. They want to say all these different things. But the issue that I have with that is those are our best players. Why don't you rag on Ron Rivera? Because I know everyone has, but why don't you rag on him a little bit more? Because this is the team that he built.
Right.
He's in charge of the personnel. So don't sit there and say, oh, yeah, well, John Allen. You know, John Allen is a defensive tackle. Okay, he's there for certain purposes. They're going to keep trying to compare him to Hassan Reddick of the Eagles, or, you know, whoever else you want to say. They're going to compare him to all these guys that get sacks. Defensive tackles, if you're not Aaron Donald, you're not going to go out there and get tons of sacks. Okay, I don't have Warren Sapp's numbers in front of me. Warren Sapp was a great defensive tackle. Do you think he had 12 sacks every year? No. That's the problem, is that people don't realize those certain things, and they always say, oh, well, he's not making a flashy play. He's not doing anything. And then Scary Terry has one horrific game where he doesn't catch a ball and kind of makes a joke at the end saying, I got a lot of cardio out there today. Yeah. And people are like, he's not a great one, not a great receiver. Like, what do you got? Like, people just like, they jump off the deep end after one bad thing. And now they're starting to blame the people that we shouldn't be blaming, our captains.
Yeah.
Like, our captains are only certain players. Okay. We can't do that much. And that's an issue that I'm having.
Yeah. So you look at how, you know, compared to some of his other starts this season. And yeah, I mean, it definitely was not one of his better games. Pretty low passing rate, too. I mean, 23 passes, that ties his season low with that Atlanta win, too. And you did have, wasn't there some weird comments with Rivera at halftime, too, where he was like talking about running the ball more and stuff like that? And
they were down 31-7, I believe. And his first thought was, yeah, we need to run the ball more. And then all of a sudden they were like, yeah, but Brian Robinson, which I didn't even know when Brian Robinson got hurt.
Right.
But they said Brian Robinson's ruled out for the game, but he still wanted to run the ball down 24. That makes sense.
I mean, yeah, I think that's what this comes down to. It's like, look, like we have an inept coaching staff that doesn't know what they're doing, doesn't know how to work with the talent that they have. We got to get some new blood in there to be able to work with Allen. Yeah, looking at, I mean, again, 58 sacks on the season is just bananas. It's just a crazy number. By the way, got to keep looking at these Howell rushing props each week too. I mean, if he's rushed for a touchdown in his last three games, might be something to look at in the old betting side of things. But I think as we've been talking about, I mean, look, bottom line is the season's kind of a disaster. Hopefully there's some, I mean, there have been some bright moments here and there, not a lot of them. Let's get some new regime in there, and hopefully this team can figure it out. Because, yeah, the rest of the season is not going to be pretty.
Here's the thing that really ticked me off, okay? It probably would tick you off, but not as much as me. So I saw on the Junkies, obviously. We can say the Junkies. We like the Junkies and all that stuff.
Yep.
They put out, and I believe it was probably JP who put out this Twitter poll that said who is playing better at this time in their season? Sam Howell or Taylor Heinicke?
Oh yeah, I did see that,
and I got so close to commenting because I was so ticked off. Because the problem is, Taylor Heinicke last year was basically a god to 75% of these people in this town, mainly because he quote unquote tries hard. We already went through this whole entire spiel last year, okay, and he wasn't asked to do the stuff that Sam Howell's doing, okay. He went out there and threw, 25 times? Howell's throwing double that, okay? Right. Howell's throwing, on average, now if you do the average, he's probably throwing close to 40 to 43 times a game, somewhere in the middle there. Because he's had, 350s and 350 spots and different stuff like that. I mean, you just said that he tied his season low at 23. Now, is it because he has a stronger arm? Yes. Hell yeah, obviously. But the difference is that I'm starting to see is that people are still in that camp, like just silently saying, did we make the right decision leaving Taylor Heinicke out there? Yes, we did make the right decision. Okay. You have Taylor Heinicke who couldn't beat out Desmond Ridder. Okay. I knew for a fact Desmond Ridder was going to start because the owner, Arthur Blank, even said that for Atlanta. But the problem that I'm seeing is that when you put out a poll like that, you know, it's clickbait. It has to be clickbait.
Yeah, because it has to be.
Because you have to look at it this way, Ben. When you see Taylor Heinicke go out there last year for the Commanders, and people are still in this camp of, oh, give him a shot, even though, again, he's played and started 29 games in this league, the issue that I have is that when people sit there, there's a tweet right there. The issue that I have is people are just looking at oh, look at the records. You know, it's all about winning. Yes, but when you are asked to do basically nothing, okay, you're literally asked to do nothing but manage a game and throw the ball 23 times. Do you think if Eric Bieniemy, who is literally there to say, I'm throwing the rock 40 times a game,
right,
can Taylor Heinicke do that? Hell no.
No.
Taylor Heinicke, yes. In 2022, he had 12 TDs at this point in the time, okay? 12 TDs, 6 picks, okay? 12 TDs and 6 picks. Sweet. He only had 6 picks. Again, we mentioned a million times how many of those picks were dropped. Okay, we talked about that before. But neither here nor there. We want to talk about that. But everyone just looks at the record. Everyone looks at the record. Look at the record. Look at the record. Look at the record. Do we not think that Sam Howell is not mobile? You just mentioned it. He has 4 rushing touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. But the problem is that Taylor Heinicke got away from some of those sacks. Taylor Heinicke had a different line last year that was markedly better. And he also had a top, 6 defense in yardage, when this year the yardage is atrocious. We just talked about the defense.
Yeah.
So the problem that I have is people go out there and they just want to slam. This is a slam to Sam Howell. This is a slam Sam moment. Because when you want to go out there and try to find something to marketably say, this guy sucks at this, or this guy is not as good as this person, or what are your thoughts about Taylor? Why are we bringing up Taylor Heinicke?
It's so stupid.
Why? Because the guy literally had a different team last year. Again, we talked about the defense. We talked about the offensive line. We talked about all these different things. Like, literally, their offensive line, not saying they're great, but when Taylor Heinicke is playing in a game where the offense is just needing 17 points, right, or when the defense is allowing in yardage, again, one of the top fives. I mean, again, you can't go out there. You have to be simpatico, okay? Yin and yang here. I mean, the biggest thing about it is the defense needs to keep the other team out of the end zone. And when Sam Howell is looking at a 27-3 deficit at halftime because the defense let in so many points in the first half to a Bears team that hadn't won in 300 days, I mean, it's like, it's embarrassing because you're not factoring in all the factors that need to go into playing the quarterback position. Do you think that Peyton Manning, for instance, my goat of all time, do you think that Peyton Manning, lost some blowouts? I'm sure he did, you know? And he's, for me, like I said, he's the goat in my opinion. But the problem that I see is that everyone wants to sit there and try to revert back to Taylor Heinicke to get clickbait, to get this and that or some type of, you know, oh, we need to make sure people understand that Taylor Heinicke did so much for us. No, he didn't. He didn't. No. Oh,
well, we brought in Carson Wentz for the Browns game. We could have been in the playoffs.
Okay, sweet. Like, okay, we're going to go back to this Carson Wentz thing. I think there's a reason why Taylor Heinicke, supposedly, I don't know if it was ever proven or not, said start Sam Howell in that last game.
Right.
Okay. Yes, maybe he wanted to save his health. But I think also he realized, oh, Sam Howell can sling it. I've been with this guy for an entire season now. Right. So it's just one of those things where it just ticked me off when I saw that, because I was like, literally, we're going on that now. Because some people are still saying, oh, Taylor Heinicke, you know, when last year, you know, maybe we probably should have kept him because last year he was doing so well for us. No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. I mean, if you think this team is bad this year, imagine what they would be with Taylor Heinicke. Yeah, I mean, it would be probably worst in the league, basically, at this point. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll move on here because we did want to get into some Squid Game talk. And as I said, we got a again, this is based on Squid Game, the challenge, the Netflix reality show, game show series that they did based on the original Squid Game show. And if you haven't watched it yet, definitely encourage you to do so, because basically they've taken a lot of the games from the show and they've recreated them, and they've had a cast of 400 something people, 456 contestants, and had them go through the games. But they've added kind of a cool element to this show is there's more like games, there's more like decision making and all these different things that you didn't get. Well, because in the real show, you die, you know, you die when you lose, and like, you know, some of the contestants would like beat each other up and all that sort of stuff. In this show,
a remix? This is a remix version?
Yeah, it is a little remix version.
I like it. I kind of like it.
Yeah. This is Pink
Leading
Soldiers.
Up to your death.
Samuel K. Pink Soldiers.
We're gonna keep playing this.
So I found a list that is a ranking of all the games in the Squid Game show, and I wanted to see how it hits And again, if you haven't watched it yet, maybe skip ahead in the podcast or stop and go watch all 9 episodes with the 10th coming out this week. So number 14, there's only 14 on this list here. Red Light, Green Light. So that's the original first game in the series and in this show where you have all the players. It's Red Light, Green Light. All the players line up on one end. There's that creepy-looking doll that turns around, there's a shot of it. And you have until the timer runs out to get across, or if you make any movement when it's red light and it catches you, you die, and that sort of thing. So this is the lowest ranked game on the list. Do you agree? Do you agree with this decision, or do you think this should be higher?
I would say I think it should be higher because of the sole fact that it. I mean, are we talking like is it like a game that I would love to play outside, or are we talking about like in the show reasoning?
Maybe in the show.
I would say because of the effect it had. Now, if you're talking about the challenge, obviously everyone's already seen the show. Mm-hmm. But the difference that I have with it is that when you look at this game, you know, in the real Korean show, everyone's so shocked because they're like, coming out, they're like, what? They see the sunlight, and then all of a sudden, first person, if I recall correctly in the show, they literally sprint, and then all of a sudden, within like 2 seconds, they're like, boom, and everyone's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like this guy just got his brains blown in.
Right.
But I think it takes more skill than you think. Because again, we have the timer, there's people around you, you have to, dodge, whip, dodge, and dive and duck and all the whatever Pastor Houlihan said. And the thing about it is I noticed in the real show compared to the Korean show that people were taking some tips from that show and how they ran.
Yeah.
Because, again, if that doll turns around, you stop, and all of a sudden you start sliding.
You're done.
Because it's like sand. You're done. And I saw a couple people in the challenge show that barely moved. I mean, it barely.
Dude, that's a crazy thing. Like, literally, like, and again, we're only seeing what they're showing us on the show, but it seemed seemingly, as you said, any sort of small twitch, really anything, and that camera catches you, you're done. I mean, like, that's the scary thing. It's like, I feel like, with all this pressure of like, hey, this is the first game, like, nobody wants to get out on the first game. Yeah. Some of the techniques you saw, I mean, people would definitely put their hands in their pockets when they would run, so that way your hand's not another possible thing that could get you in trouble. And then I saw a lot of people, and I feel like this makes sense, is kind of doing like almost a run shuffle where they're they're kind of shuffling and kind of running at the same time where you have the ability to stop and like really have like a good foundation. Because that's a big key to this is you get off balance, or like one lady in the show was like in a deep squat for some reason. And, that was just idiotic.
Yeah, but the weird thing about that one was she was like, "Oh, this hurts. Why are you down there? why are you trying to duck one of the ink blot things? Like, I don't understand. Like, why you're down there?" And the funny thing is she said, "Oh, this hurts." Okay, so first of all, I don't know why it hurts. Second of all, I think now after hearing about the show, that when they had to tape it, I think they said they taped it for like 7 hours.
Yeah.
Because you also have to think, though, they're not killing people. So, and if you notice at the very end, there wasn't 200 people. Oh, nice song. There wasn't like 200 people on the field because they basically said, "All right, pause. Everyone, stay where you're at. And don't move. And then if you got shot, then everyone get up and leave," or something like that. Because I think she must have been doing it a bunch of times and was like working out or something like that, doing squats the entire time. And that's probably why she was like that. Because she probably was down there doing a squat for 20 minutes.
Yeah, something with the way they film it is, I read that too, where it like took like 6 hours. It's like, that seems crazy. I'm with you. Like, I would maybe not put it at last. Like, I agree that it's
top
not,
7.
Yeah. It's not like a top 3 game or anything, but I don't know. I feel like it's kind of cool. Number 13 is the mystery telephone. And so this was in the show, if you guys remember, or if you're listening, where the guards would do some of these where it would just kind of be like a test where they would. So, for example, all these people, they're hanging out in the dorm, and they would just bring in this phone and just like leave it there, not say a word. They'd walk out. And they're kind of testing to see like who is going to, like, if it rings, like who's going to pick it up and kind of test like what type of person you are. Now, my rule with this game, and I was telling you this on text, and with any sort of game, Survivor included, is when something like this happens, you don't do it. Because while there could be some benefit to it, like the first guy that did it, he got like a cheeseburger or something, which everyone like stole. Remember, he got like a plate of food, and everyone just comes up to him and starts stealing like all the food. Really,
that one girl took a cheeseburger and like ran with it.
Took like the whole burger. So like, you know, there could be a reward like that, but then there's the negative side where the guy that picked up the phone, the guy on the other line says like, you have to convince somebody else to take this phone, otherwise you're out. And like, so he only had like 5 minutes or something like
that guy was a moron.
Idiot.
I mean, idiot. You could have easily said something like, hey, you know, they're offering food and I need two people or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like you could think on your feet.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
But he was like, hey, who wants a muffin? Who wants a muffin or something like that?
All he had to do is when the person said that he could have easily played it like, okay, they're offering us food, but I need two people I need somebody else to also get on the phone, and then you know, like he could have easily made up something on the spot that made it sound. You know, really realistic, and then it would have been fine. But instead, you know, he was being dumb about it and was like, yeah, like, who wants a muffin? And everyone's like, what the hell is this guy talking about? It's like, he seems pretty suspicious.
This guy's a little weird.
So the game as a whole, I mean, it was kind of cool to see. This is definitely a lower tier game. It was just kind of cool to see, like, how dumb this Hussein guy was.
It would have been better if it would have been. I mean, it would have been better if they had someone different. I mean, get someone on there. I mean, now obviously they can't choose, but it would have been nice if they would have had like some bully on there that would have said, "Hey, you know, get on this phone. I'm gonna punch your face in."
Right. I mean, there's something else to it. Now, number 12 on this list is just when they played that dodgy game where like you slam one piece of paper on the other piece of paper. I mean, this was like barely anything, and like nobody got eliminated. So yeah, this is a lower tier game. Like those two games are worse than the red light, green light. Like it's weird that would be below this.
Yeah,
not a whole lot.
Get out of here.
Yeah. This one. So Dalgona. So this is the cookie one. So this is at number 11 on this list. Dude, I will say like this game would be a little scary because it's like it seems simple, but yeah, like one wrong move. Or you didn't like get the cookie like ready to go before you start breaking off pieces or something like that. Like you're done. And there's no like physical skill to it. It's literally just like you got to like spit on the cookie 100 times and then like try and break it correctly. And then another big part is having the shape. I mean, the shape battle itself was like a big freaking deal in the show. You know?
and the funny thing about that was again this was Jess's first experience with this. So when she saw them all like, you know, had like a pool of gunk in their tin. Oh my god, that was
like
just licking disgusting.
The too. Like if you hadn't seen the show before, you're like, what are they all doing? But because in the real show, like a couple of the contestants figured out like, oh, if I like lick through the cookie, it's gonna make it way easier to break this piece out. But even then, it's not like a guaranteed thing. Like we saw plenty of people lick and spit on the cookie, and like they still got out.
Did you see the one guy that was really creepy and he was like this, held the cookie up like this, and he went,
yeah, there were some weirdos with that.
There was some weirdo, man.
There were some weirdos.
Like, my God, dude. And like, yeah, calm down.
The umbrella shape would definitely be the dagger because that's a tough one. I mean, the circle is like everybody was getting easily the circle and the triangle and stuff like that.
And that whole entire choosing the shape bit was kind of crazy. Like, those guys were like, hey, you know, we'll help you out. And they were like bullying the kid. And he's like,
dude, he was
he was losing, and everyone's like, no, because they were watching it. And then he was like, this might sound sexual, and everyone's like, what? Like, what is this guy saying? He's like,
spit on everyone's cookies, guys. Like, we're like, well, okay, dude. Like, this guy's a weird dude, man.
And then the people running the show are immediately like, you can't do that. Like, that's not allowed.
I like how they said it. You can't help anybody.
He was so like, this being 11, it's like, all right. I would maybe keep it in the top 10. I don't know if I'd push it out of the top 10. But, yeah, like, as you said, it's kind of a gross challenge. But it is pretty thrilling to watch. Like, maybe not the part where they're, like, licking it all over. But it's kind of interesting to see, like, all right, who's going to actually be able to stay in the game because it is such a small little thing. Number 10 on the list is Dice Jail. So this was... I wouldn't put this in the top 10. So basically the way this game worked was it was down to a certain number of people and like a small number of people. And then it was like you roll the die and you just decide that if it rolls on a 6, either you're eliminated if you choose yourself or somebody else that you choose will be eliminated before you roll it with this if you roll a 6. This one... I know they made a big deal about that one girl choosing somebody else instead of herself because they basically were all like, just choose yourself, and then it's just like, you know, it's just a game of chance at that point. For this one, I wouldn't be that scared about it. I mean, you're a 1 in 6 chance of going home if it rolls on a 6. I mean, I just feel like this is not that scary, you know? I feel like it's just you roll the dice. Also, like, I didn't really notice anybody, and they didn't say anything about, like, can't you kind of manipulate the die a little bit in a way? Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's a way to kind of help yourself not roll a 6, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think that because the floor is concrete, so I think they kind of, because it's going to be hard for them to say, like what are they going to say? No, roll it again, you know? Because, slit it. Now, you probably could. But for me, like, it wasn't a great game or anything like that. But the problem was that I had is that I think they had more aspirations for this, like, oh, we're going to get some drama built up in this, even though, you know, they only had the one whole entire thing at the beginning. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, there's too much lovey-dovey stuff. Like, I'm here to win. I'm not going to nominate myself. Like, get out of here.
You see this
like,
in Survivor as well, and a lot of, like, the modern game shows these days is I think people are afraid of coming across – bad on TV because now it's like if you come across as a jerk, suddenly like everyone's finding your Twitter and your Instagram and they're like reaching out to your place of work and like they're just like people are insane now. I feel like everybody now, I'm not saying that's the only reason why people do it but I think that's part of it is people are just afraid to look so bad on TV that they're like nobody's cutthroat anymore. And I'm with you. Like I think you in this situation, it's like, yeah, you of course. You go for somebody else. Like, why would you put yourself in jeopardy? Now, the caveat is if what I would have loved to see, which didn't happen, is can multiple people nominate somebody to get out? Like, what if they all ganged up on that May girl and they're like, you know, I nominate May to go out if I roll a 6. I nominate May to go out if I like. Yeah. What if you could have had multiple people ganging up and everybody choosing the same person to try to kick him out of the show?
Well, there was you had to get 3 people
you
kicked
had to get
out.
3 so in. That's true.
Honestly, what I would have done is I would have said, you know, if I was friends with a group of 4 people and there was only 9 people left, I would have said, hey, we're all going to do for the same person. So whoever has the die first or whatever, you know.
Right.
Go for this order, you know. But I don't know. That's what I thought.
Right. Number 9, group elimination election. So yeah, this was this one's kind of stupid. It was just like it was basically a simple game of like we're just gonna nominate people to be eliminated, and it was like whoever 3 or whatever
Italian
get the
Italian
most
D-bag finally left. Thank God.
That guy sucked. Yeah, that guy was.
Horrible. That guy was.
Remember, like he.
I'm not gonna take your apple.
Food.
Yeah.
That guy sucked. Number 8.
I'm too good for the apple.
Kickball nightmares. Oh, this was when it was literally just like a lineup and I'm choosing you choose somebody to be safe. And like that's kind of how it worked.
I hated that one, man. That one sucked because it's like, oh, I'm just going to choose my friends. I'm not going to choose, you know, and I get it. Like, that's the whole point of the game. But then they started saying, like, oh, we're going to have the ladies. And then I hated when that one girl, which she's annoying as hell, the one with the head, the curly black hair and the glasses, that her and that old guy got in a fight during marbles, which I kind of believe the old guy a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a wild.
Amber or something like that.
Yeah. So there was, that was wild. So again, you have this girl who, like, she was deaf. You didn't really know until that moment that she was deaf because we had never seen her sign language or anything before this point. And then, like, she's in a game with the old guy, and, like, she talks about, like, being deaf, and, like, he's like, I'm deaf, too. And she's like, well, that's
I've seen your hearing aids.
She, like, gets mad at him, and suddenly it's, like, a competition of, like, who's the more deaf? And it's, like, it was so weird. I'm with you. Like, sure, the guy was a little bit of a dick, but, like, she was kind of... I'm with you. I was just like, this girl sucks. Like, what is she doing right now?
Well, the weird part about that was that they basically said, like, oh, what are you going to do with the money? He's like, well, yeah, I want to do this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, he's like, what about you? And she's like, well, you know I'm deaf, right? And he was like, you're talking to me right now, and you're understanding what I'm saying, so no, you're not.
Right.
And he's like, she's like, but I am. And then all of a sudden he was like, but, I mean, you know I'm a little deaf, too. And she's like, I've seen your hearing aids. He's like, well, why haven't you come up to me and, like, you know, done some sign language or something like that? We could have talked about that or something
right.
And, like, he's like, I think you're just using that now to, which I kind of believe because she didn't
she
do
was.
That much
no,
of
no,
it.
No, I'm with you, 100%. No, like,
and
that,
I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, so this Kickball Nightmares, that was, again, it wasn't really much of a game at all. It was literally just like, yeah, pick your friend to stay alive, to also be safe. So this is, I think this should be lower for sure.
Yeah.
Circle of Distrust. This one was a wild one. So this was, yeah, everybody
I
was sitting.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I like this one too. I'd maybe move this to top five. Because, yeah, everybody was sitting in the circle in the chairs, blindfolded. They'd come around, they'd tap you on the shoulder, and if you got tapped, you go up, you take the gift box, you put it on somebody else's desk without them knowing. You would have to be super quiet. You sit back down, you put your blindfold on. Blindfolds all come off. The person whose box is on the desk, they have to decide or they have to try to figure out who put it on my desk. If they get it right, that person goes home. If they get it wrong, they go home. That would be, dude, that one, I would be so scared about making any sort of noise that would indicate that it was me. Now, I do wonder, I was wondering this about the editing. I was wondering if, like, because obviously it was pretty quiet when we were watching the edit. I gotta think they had, like, music playing or they had some other noises happening because, like, that would kind of ruin the game if it was, like, oh, I just know who did it because I heard them move from the desk. Like, you know, like, I feel like they had to have some other, like, noise playing or something to not let that happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest worry for me is opening up my blind or getting tapped on the shoulder and trying to get out of that desk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
you're walking around with the desk still around your body at that point. That would be tough. But then, like, the whole thing of, like, putting it on somebody's desk and then going and sitting back down and having to... That one guy overacted so much. He's like, God, it's so bright. He was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah, he's like, oh, what is this, the sun?
Yeah,
like,
it was so
they were
stupid.
Like, this guy. Yeah, it was. I think it was that Sam guy.
Yeah,
the Sam guy was like... Yeah. What? Like, it was like a baby opening his eyes for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, granted, like, it would, I don't know. Like, I feel like I wouldn't be that bad at pretending it wasn't me. But at the same time, like, in that moment when you're that close to, like, millions of dollars, maybe you do kind of have a little bit of a tell.
I would have kept the blindfold on.
Yeah, that's true. Just true.
No one told me to take it off.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It would be tough, man. It would be a little bit scary. Not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah, like I said, the desk it worried me a little bit. When I saw those desks, I was like, those desks look like they're from, like, the 1960s. Like, I can't get out of those.
Jack in the Box elimination number 6. I mean, yeah, it was very simple. You had a couple people up there. They do a Jack in the Box. One of them would get eliminated. One of them would, like, get an advantage in the game. One would give you the power to eliminate other people. You know,
that girl tilted me to no end.
Yeah, yeah, she was annoying. And then it's just like, this game was definitely kind of tough. But wasn't this like this guy was safe and then she got to eliminate someone and she just eliminated this guy? Yeah.
he got, like, an advantage. And he's up there saying, like, hey, we got this. Yeah. Don't worry about it. We got it. And then all of a sudden she's like, I'm eliminating 130. And the hell? He's like, that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this game as a whole, like, I don't know. It wasn't that exciting to watch. It was just a Jack in the Box. Claw Machine of Doom. This is kind of like a mini game because this was part of the glass bridge. This was part of the election process where, like, you got to choose somebody like you pick a number out of this claw machine and then like you can assign it to somebody.
Right.
You know, that's how that one guy got completely screwed of getting number one. Like that was a tough one for
we got this, y'all. We got this. Like go head first or whatever the hell he said.
So like the ideal number in this scenario is, so you don't really necessarily want the last couple because the timing is a factor when you're like number 20 and people are taking forever to go through the process. Like you could get stuck at the back and like not have enough time to get across. So I feel like the ideal number to have is like 15, 16, 17, like somewhere kind of in the late teens versus like you don't want to be the last person on the list, you know.
I will say though that one girl, I forgot what her name is. She is a loser.
Yeah.
Like, everyone agreed to it. Now, I understand that, yes, you don't want to get eliminated. But the thing about it is, the offer that whoever made it, whoever created it, or had.
It was one of the guys.
That offer is, you only have to jump once.
Once, yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, you're number one, you're screwed. Like, that's the problem that I had, is that she literally was like, well, you guys want to go for it. And then all of a sudden, like, after... That skinny frail dude, Gary or Gavin or something, whatever the hell his name was, Chris, I don't know whatever the hell his name was, the one with the mom, and
he did it like three times.
he was like
see,
I'm going for
stupid.
It. Boom, boom,
that
boom.
Was the thing. It's like, look, like that guy, like once you make it once, it's like, all right, big deal. Like that's, you know, but you did it twice. You're done, dude. Don't do it again. Like, you're set. You did your job because you could brag to everybody like, hey, guys, I went twice. And like,
And then he looks back and says, hey, who wants to go next? Who wants to go in front of this idiot behind me? Like, I would have said that too. I would have called her straight out. I would have said, hey, this person's a loser. They're not a team player. We're going to go for her next time and just get her out. But that's the thing.
Right.
Everyone was just like, oh, man. Like, and they put her off the hook. I'm like, come on now. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Now she's... Yeah, well, now she's eliminated, but still, like, yeah. Number four kind of leads into number three, so I don't understand this. So, like, this isn't a game. Picnic Treat was, you had to choose another person to have a picnic with, and then the big reveal was, of course, if you've seen the show, you
I bet that was the
notice.
Advantage, by the way. I bet that was the advantage, was the guy knew that there was going to be marbles in the bottom of it.
That's true, because then he would pick his partner by not necessarily someone he like is his friend. Yeah. Like he would choose.
Hey, let's split
else.
Up today.
But that's the thing. It's like you got to think. You're playing this game. You know, marbles is coming at some point if you've seen the show. So you kind of be a little wary of like this whole like divide into pairs. It's like, all right, and then the marble game. Yeah, I mean, this is always interesting, and it was interesting in the show, too, is just, like, because, yeah, the only direction they give you is, like, you got to figure out a game. You got 15, 20 minutes or whatever. Figure out a game. Somebody wins. Somebody loses. Like, that's your job at this point. And, like, you know, that one that one pair where they took, like, the entire time because she's like, I'm not good at throwing. It's like, throwing? You're, like, you're just literally, like, barely you're barely throwing a marble. It's like, you know, something that weighs like nothing, and you're literally all you have to do is swing your arm. And she was just like, I don't want to do that. And then she did it anyways at the end, and like she won, didn't she? Or whatever. Yeah. So it's like, what is your problem?
Well, that was the best part, was that they sat there and he's like, I'm not getting off this. So, you know, we're throwing because it's not fair if you're not throwing. And she's like, well, I want to do something. I'm trying to compromise. He was, and I did kind of see his side in the sense that she was kind of being annoying.
Yeah.
Because she was like, let's think of something like in the middle. Okay, well, what's in the middle of throwing or not throwing? Like, what's in the middle of that? So it's like, for me, that it kind of annoyed me. But then the guy was like, just not letting off that ledge. And then all of a sudden they said, all right, throw. And they started throwing towards that like pot. And then like she made it in. And then all of a sudden when she made it in first, then he was like, you didn't win. And then like he like screwed her over. Like,
oh, yeah, because they both got out because they didn't. Yeah. Nobody won. Yeah, yeah, that was
like, that what, was what so an idiot. Stupid.
I kind of like the two that were like, hey, look, we'll just do one throw and like winner takes all. And they're like, we're just going to chill now for the next like 15 minutes. And then in the final 30 seconds, we'll do it. Like, that's kind of cool because, like, I mean, it is a very, it's like a 50-50 chance sort of thing where it's like, you know, And versus, I mean, if you and I were going to play the game, some of the games were like, yeah, shoot a marble into like a pot. Like, sure, that could be kind of fun. Some of them were like, dig a little hole, and it's like, how many marbles of yours can you put in the hole versus mine?
I did like the son-mom one where they did like a cornhole bit. Yeah. Like a ski ball.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that was cool.
Where they had like multiple targets and stuff worth different points. Yeah. So like, I mean, the marbles is always entertaining as it was in the show because you get to a point where it's like you are suddenly possibly getting rid of like your friend in the game. And like that's always makes for good TV. So that makes sense that would be in the top.
The one last bit that I'll say about this is the two annoying people, the one that eliminated the guy with the advantage, like the two friends that kept saying like, you know, everyone's in cliques and we're not. Like they kept crying about everything. The problem that I had was their game, they made it so dramatic. Meanwhile, you see them trying to throw into a flower can.
Right.
Okay, like a watering can that had a handle over top of the hole.
Right,
like
right, right.
You couldn't find a pot. Yeah. There's a million pots around there.
Or just dig a hole with your hand for 5 seconds. Yeah, that was stupid. Number two, Warship. This was cool. It was like a big version of Battleship. Yeah. this was cool. Now, the only thing that would suck is, like, you could technically be on the winning team and still be eliminated because your ship got sunk. Like, that part kind of sucks, you know? Because,
I still would have done the tug of war bit. You know that.
Yeah, I think they were trying to change it
up. Go ahead.
No, I know. It's like the internet here sucks right now. I think they were trying to, because the tug of war bit, the only I know what you're saying, but the problem is with that is I feel like you are kind of leaning on. I mean, if you just put together a team of like the biggest, strongest people, it's pretty darn likely they're gonna win.
I think what you're saying is that, which I totally understand, I totally agree with, which is the point of. They wanted to switch it up because of the sole fact that people were thinking it was tug of war. So they had like, the strong guys on this one team, and all of a sudden they lost. Like that one big bad bully that whatever his number was that thought he was the coolest guy. He's like, I'm gonna be in the submarine because it's only two, and then he got out first. That was great.
You don't go in the twosie. I feel like. I mean, like, I think you go in at least three, at least the threesie, because like. I understand the logic of being like, like two might be hardest to find. But also it's like if they do find it, you're done, basically. Like you're screwed.
You're out.
Yeah. So like you don't want to be in the biggest one, obviously. But yeah, that was pretty cool. That was a neat twist. And then number one, Glass Bridge. Yeah, we kind of talked about that already.
Of course. Yeah.
That one, it was interesting that nobody tried to, like in the show, like, they were trying to figure out if they could tell the glass being different from like the real glass versus the tempered glass or whatever it is. So like, it's interesting that that wasn't even mentioned on this one. Of like, I mean, they looked pretty darn similar to me. Like on the, just watching.
I think they were the same glass. It was just which one is a trapdoor or not? Like pretty much.
That's it. You're right. No, that's a good point. It's like one was a trapdoor or not. So they were the same. They were probably rigged the exact same. Pretty cool. Pretty cool show. I'm excited for the finale. I don't know which of the three I'm rooting for. You know, like I guess May, just because she's from Fairfax County, Virginia, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. I didn't know that until like literally episode 7.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it showed her the first time I saw that, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's like her, the long haired guy. Paul, I think, is his name, and then
Phil. It's Phil.
Phil. No, you're right. Phil, and then the other gay guy, right?
Yeah, it's like Sam or something.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Three different people.
Three very different people. We're running a little long here, so we'll just hop into the Daily Dozen to finish off the show today.
Let's do it.
Program.
How many we get last time? Six? No, we got seven.
Yeah, I feel like we had seven. We missed two last time. all right, NFL. After starting for a year in place of an injured Tom Brady in New England, Matt Cassel spent four seasons as a starting quarterback of what AFC from 2009 to 2012? Is that the Chiefs?
Wrong? Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, that's what I thought. MLB. In 2012, third baseman Chase Headley won a Gold Glove, Silver Slugger in the league, and in RBIs while printing for what National League West team? I believe this is the Diamondbacks. Does that ring a bell at all for you?
For some reason, I was thinking of the Rockies, but I'll go with the D-backs.
Oof! Now you've got me double guessing. Let's go Diamondbacks, Rockies. And if we have to double dip, we'll go back.
I
to
got
the
you.
Rockies. Golf. This Irish golfer won.
I don't even know if I'm right, to be honest with you.
This Irish golfer won the Open Championship back-to-back years in 2007 and 2008 and is set to enter the World Golf Hall of Fame in 2024.
So I believe it's Padraig Harrington.
Yeah, it's Padraig.
Padraig, yeah, whatever.
Okay, good, good, good. God, I can't. Chase Headley. I mean, I swear to God he played for the Diamondbacks. While Kazakhstan is very close, only two countries border Mongolia. China to the south and this country to the north. Oh, my God.
I'm out.
Two countries border Mongolia. So there's Mongolia, and it's China to the south. China.
I thought Mongolia was a city.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, maybe.
Russia?
I'm going to say Russia. Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. I feel like that's got to be it. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, you know, where it's located.
Okay.
Oh.
This is Samuel L. And then
and that's the girl from SNL.
No, it's not.
You don't think so?
No. No. You're thinking, no. This is, so she was in the Black Panther movies, the newest one. The Woman King or whatever. So this is, and she was in that show, How to Get Away with Murder.
She was also,
it's not Lupita. It's
wasn't she in? Oh, she can't be that character then.
Why am I forgetting her name?
Is she Michonne from Walking Dead?
I don't know. I haven't watched the show.
Oh.
What's
her name?
What is her name?
Is it something with a king?
No, it's not Regina. You're thinking of Regina King. It's not her.
No, not Regina King.
It's good Lord. Oh, we might have to just come back to this one. But we know it was the other one, Samuel L. Jackson. Chain restaurants. In late 2006, what fast food chain released three branded Xbox games available to buy for $3.99 with the purchase of any value meal? I'm not an Xbox guy, so I have no idea.
Wait, what? In late
2006, what fast food chain released three branded Xbox games available to buy for $3.99 with the purchase of any value meal?
I don't know what the three branded Xbox games.
So it's
means.
Like you could buy basically like you buy a value meal and you can and you get a game for an extra $4, like an Xbox game along with your meal. So who would do something like that? Like Burger King or something?
Definitely not. I would have to. You have to say the big boys. So it wouldn't be Taco Bell. It wouldn't be a local chain. It had to be a national chain. I just don't think it would be Burger King. I would think it was either McDonald's or maybe like McDonald's, Wendy's.
I'll lean on you because I have no memory of this.
Me?
You're an Xbox guy.
Yeah, I didn't buy it at a value menu in 2006. Sophomore
so you think
in high
it
school.
Might be McDonald's.
Well,
or
I mean.
Or you think another one?
I just think it has to be a big chain that's
yeah,
national.
No, I'm with you. Big chain. But I mean, Burger King was a.
If you want to try it. Throw the dice.
I don't want to throw Burger King in there and get it wrong. I guessed last time and I was wrong, so I need you to guess this time.
Just go. Go. I would go with. Go with. I don't think Wendy's does anything like this.
I don't think so.
Well, name five chains. So you got McDonald's, five national chains.
Yeah, McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, Wendy's. I don't think Chick-fil-A. Would do
no.
this. So it's not them. Arby's.
Yeah. Let's just do McDonald's.
All right. We'll just go with it's a chalk pick here.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know.
Dang. Joining the cast during season 6, JB Smoove has played the character Leon Black. Oh, this is Curb. Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I think, so this is, it came to my mind. This is Viola Davis.
Ah, good.
And
nice.
Samuel L. Jackson. Okay, so we'll at least get that. I know what you're saying, though, because like, this is not like Viola Davis's hair normally, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah. I thought it was Leslie Jones.
Yeah, yeah. I knew what you were thinking. Okay, why is Samuel not showing up? And he was earlier. Okay, there it is. Jeez. Okay. Movies. Nice. What actor and comedian voices Marty the Zebra? Oh, that's Jason Bateman.
Chris Rock. Jason Bateman.
I was thinking of Zootopia. Zootopia.
I was like, whoa, what?
No. Shake It Like a Polaroid Picture is famous lyric for Outkast song. I mean, that's so freaking chalk.
Outkast.
Hey, yeah. All right, so let's use Double Dip on MLB, maybe?
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. I don't remember that.
Okay, so our options here are Dodgers, Rockies, who am I blanking? Oh, Padres. Could it be the Padres? It
could be the Padres. But wasn't the Padres, wasn't that a recent answer, too? Usually they don't double up on answers real quick. I do it all the time.
But that was a week ago. When we last did it. I would say it's going to be either Rockies or Padres.
Go with the Rockies. Or no, go with the Padres. Yeah, go with the Padres.
Okay. I'm with. I agree with you on that. Yes. Okay. All right. So the only one we missed was this chain restaurants one. By the way, the stats here. 27% got celebrity mashup. Golf. So you did a good job on that one, Patrick. MLB, 43%. 46. Oh, yeah. So let's see. What's the.
I can only think of two Irish golfers, anyways.
It was Burger King, you idiots. I wasn't that confident in the answer.
We should have thought about just doing Burger King, because Burger King is an odd. We already talked about that last week. They're an odd bird.
So they would definitely win. I won't blame you because I wasn't that confident in my answer. So like,
I never even heard of it.
I just thought it was such a weird thing. And for some reason, Burger King and Xbox. I feel like there's a connection there. But whatever. Yeah. We 8 for 9. BK, 8 for 9.
Have it your way, man. Have it your way.
Have it your way.
I wonder if John Z would have had it his way.
He always has it his way. I don't even want to say what I was going to say. John Z is going to sing us out here. We will be back next week. Again, we get closer and closer to the holiday episode. The Festivus episode's coming up. Cannot wait for that. What was it on like Thursday Night Football where like Ryan Fitzpatrick brought up Festivus to the rest of the panel, and nobody had any idea what that was. That's an odd panel, man.
That's an odd panel.
A lot of these panels are freaking odd these days. Like for these pregame stuff, you're like, who are these people?
I'm surprised Krista Thompson just fake it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. John C.
Oh, yeah, Festivus.
Take us out, my guy.